Galatians chapter 4. We're just going to look at a couple verses and then we'll go over to Luke chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Let us pray. Amen. So Galatians 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God's plans are always right on time. Worry about that sometimes. You know, we get to doing things, or we try to do something for the Lord, and things don't quite seem to go as fast as we want, or we just trying to do anything for the Lord, you know, and there's people involved a lot of times. But I've learned, and the Lord's taught me, and God's always right on time. I told you one time about going up to the youth detention center. One of the first times I went up there, and I went up there with Brother Ralph Stokes. And we went up there and was really looking forward to getting the opportunity to meet those kids and to get to talk to them. And we get up there, and they got a couple of the kids out in the courtyard there, and they got orange jumpsuits on, and they got shackles around their legs, and they got them outside separated from everybody else. And we talked to the security there, and they said, "Well, they had a fight. You're not going to be able to come in. We're on lockdown." And we get up there, and I'm looking at Brother Ralph Stokes, and we drove a little while to get there. And I said, "Well, there's supposed to be a meeting down in Macon. I'm not quite sure where it is, but we could probably find it." He said, "Just lead the way." Well, that was a mistake. We get down there, and it wasn't where I thought it was, and we ended up about 45 minutes and past the time that I thought the service started. And I told Brother Stokes, I said, "Brother, I'm sorry. I said, I thought I knew where it was. I'm on this other side." And then we end up finding it. He said, "I think I know where it is." He takes me over there, and we're walking up, and I'm just feeling so bad. And he said, "Brother, don't worry about it." He said, "I trust God's providence." You ever been around somebody where you learn a lesson you never forget? He said, I trust God's providence." I said, well, maybe we were supposed to miss the service. We walk in there, and my pastor, Brother Grady Stokes, is standing up, and he's praying. And I'm like, "Oh, we're just in time for the closing prayer." And then everybody else stood up when he was done. They started singing. The service started. We were right on time. And I never forgot that. I trust God's providence. But when the fullness of time was come, do you realize that in Malachi chapter 4, it says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments." Verse number 5, he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Those are the last words of the Old Testament. They don't hear another word from God for 400 years. The Israelites had these promises in hand. They had God's prophecies in hand. And there's 400 years of silence. 400 years of dealing with the Greeks, the Romans dealing with the Greeks, the Romans taking over, 400 years of the Romans being in charge. Well, not totally 400 years in charge, but being under the charge of the Romans. Jerusalem wasn't even theirs. They were allowed to stay there. They had a temple. They were able to worship there, but 400 years without hearing a word from God. Galatians says, when the fullness of time was come, it was right on God's time. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, if you will. We'll start in verse number 5. You see, God might have taken 400 years, but he was preparing a gift for them. He was preparing a gift for Israel, and he was preparing a gift for us. And everything happened right on time. The Romans had built highways. All these things that had taken place had made the Word of God being propagated easier. Just like the Word of God being turned into the English language at just the right time, just spread the gospel exponentially. Say at verse number 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, that's the priesthood, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse number 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, Elizabeth isn't the mother of Jesus. Well, I know that. We're looking at John the Baptist's parents here. It says, verse number 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and if you want to know more about that, come on Wednesday night and learn about the tabernacle. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts, listen, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man. So Zechariah protests a little bit because he's an old man and his wife Elizabeth is old. They haven't had any children. And he says, how's this going to happen? I'm an old man. My wife's old. And the angel strikes him to where he can't talk. He said, because he didn't believe. And he doesn't let him talk until John is born. So we have the promise of a prophet with, in verses 15 and 17, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And then we have the promise of a king. Look over in verse number 26. And this is after Elizabeth conceived, in verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach from among men. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. See, through the genealogy of Mary and Joseph, Jesus would be born in the lineage of David and become a rightful heir to the throne of Israel. God's right on time. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us is a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm kind of going through this because we get caught up in the Christmas season. And I know year after year we hear the nativity and we think about that small child, Jesus, in that manger. And we just got a few more details about the manger. And you know, I love this church because I love the way this church is willing to look and see the spiritual side of things and understand how God sent his son. He rules and reigns as king. And the Jews were looking for a king to come in and to deliver them from the Romans. But, you know, it's kind of like a gift that you get. And at first you're like, oh, okay. And they see Jesus. They don't think much about him. There's no form or comeliness that they should desire him. He's humble beginnings. He's not born in a palace. He's born in humble beginnings. He's born to a humble young woman, Mary, in the humblest of circumstances. But he's the king and he's the ruler. He says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord of God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Get this, this is a trinity right here in this verse. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. That's God. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and that's John. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing should be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So we have the promise of a prophet, the promise of a king. Next, we have the promise of a blessing. Verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's like I told you, that time that woman asked Dee Dee what she thought about abortion, what she thought about the child in the womb, she said, well, I've got to think, if John left in the womb when he was near Mary and Jesus, there's a life in that womb. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, that's Mary, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And this mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. I like that. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You want God's mercy? Respect God. Give him, fear him. Verse 51, he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. We'll see this gift of hope in verse number 57. It said, now Elizabeth full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he should be called John. Plan was in place. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. When God sent a gift, when God prepared the gift, we see that through Zechariah's prophecy that it's a gift of hope, and it's a hope of redemption. Verse 69, and he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and it's a hope of salvation for Israel. Verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from all the hand of them that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. Something you want to remember here. As Zacharias is talking, number one, they're under the law. It said they were righteous in the law and the commandments. Number two, Jesus hadn't died yet. Salvation wasn't by grace through faith at this time, but Zacharias was keeping the law.
That's right.
The other thing that you want to notice from here, and this is just a gift, this is like a Bible study, but the other thing you want to notice from here is that what he's looking for isn't a Savior that's going to come and die at the hands of Roman soldiers. What Zacharias is looking for is the hope of Israel. The hope of Israel is to put down the enemies. The hope of Israel is to be a nation again, to be their own sovereign nation, and to have a king that'll rule on the throne of David. That's what they're looking for. That's what's coming, but not yet. What we talked about in the fullness of time, in God's own time, say, oh, you're looking for the resurrection. It hasn't come yet. Preachers have been preaching about it for years. Hadn't come yet. But the Bible says it is.
Amen.
400 years Israel was looking for a Messiah. No word from God. But the Messiah came through Jesus Christ. We see the fulfilling of the prophecies. We see their hope. A hope of redemption, verse 68. A hope of salvation, verse 69. And a hope of deliverance, verses 71 to 76. And John the Baptist was to deliver that message of hope. Look at verse 76. 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, talking about his son, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Remember when he was in the water and he was baptizing? He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Verse 78, through tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Verse 79, to give light, pay attention, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. To give light. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Turn over to Matthew chapter 1 with me. Remember, Mary left Elizabeth's house. She goes back to Joseph, and she's pregnant. This is a hard thing for Joseph. In reality, they were betrothed. A betrothal in those days was a stronger engagement. We call it engagement. People break engagements. People get to the altar and break engagements. But a betrothal was as good as married, but without having consummated the marriage. We get to verse number 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And here's where we get to the gift. God with us. Conceived of the Holy Ghost, verse 20. In Luke 1:35, the angel had said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You know, Wednesday night in Bible study, one of our members, he made a statement, and it just made the whole Bible study worth it. He said, you know, you could preach at me 24/7 about the holiness of God, and I would say, amen, amen, amen. He said, I've taught from the Word of God and taught it to other people, and I've listened to preaching. He said, but you know, when God shows it to you, that's when it really hits you. You know, and that's where we are at Christmas. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that he's the King of Kings. And we see the manger scenes, and we see them over and over on TV, movies, whatever. Little plays at Christmas. That play that Morgan talked about that we went to. And it's something his. They showed... They threw us off at first. They had Rudolph come out. Rudolph the Red. I'm like, what am I doing in a church to hear this? But then they began to tell the story of Jesus just by acting. And he was walking around with that piece of wood. And I knew that wasn't Jesus. Nowhere close. But as I watched him walk, just like Morgan did, and you watch him walk through, and you see those Roman soldiers, and you know it's not a real cat of nine tails. Something just hits you. Just grabs a hold of you. And it's those times you read the Bible, you do Bible studies, and you hear preaching, and you hear it. Amen, amen. But it's when it hits you. What he did for us, the beating that he took, the suffering that he took, and that Roman soldier was walking through there and he was saying, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. And he just repeated it, and you could barely hear it. And they were mocking him. Well, in studying for this, the thing that strikes me is Emmanuel, God with us. I've said it. I've preached it. You know, God came down among men. Turn to John chapter 1. God came down among men. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, I'll cut to the quick here. We'll read on. But the word is Jesus. And Jesus is that light that shines into men's hearts. And men can react in one way or another. Some men, that light shines on them. And like in a man in a dark prison cell, they can see all the roaches and infestation around them in their lives. They can see what their sin is doing to their lives. And you can react in one of two ways. Some scramble with the roaches to get away from the light. They don't want to see it. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. All those things that we try to do right to get into heaven, that's not going to get us there. And there are others that see that light and realize how they stand before God. And they see themselves and they realize that Jesus Christ, what he did so that they could have a relationship with God. Said in him was life and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, talking about John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't the light. John wasn't the Savior. John wasn't the Messiah, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is where it starts to hit home. God, who was in eternity, Jesus, who was there at the beginning, at the creation, at the very moment, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Jesus was there from the beginning. God's plan was in place in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. He said, there will be enmity between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise your heel, and he shall bruise your head, talking to Satan. He said, that was the true light which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and that's the Jews, and his own received him not. It was the Jews that delivered him up to the Romans to be crucified. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's a matter of belief. It's a matter of trust. That's right. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't make yourself a son of God by thinking it or by being it or reaching a higher plane or reaching some reincarnated level. It's not going to be by your will. Nor of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14, we get to Christmas. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He was there in the beginning. He was there long before John. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You may remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He had asked her for a drink of water, and she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me of a drink of water? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. This gift of God, you know, we give gifts at Christmas time, and when we, everything's so commercialized, and that's real easy to complain about, you know, everything's so commercialized and this or that. But you know what really matters? Where is your heart in the matter? You know, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. You know, I get older and, you know, get off my lawn. And you can say, oh, the world is getting bad. It's getting evil. Well, sure it is. You know, it was pretty bad when Jesus was around. Herod killed every child under 2 years of age. Every male child trying to keep the king from being born. It was a lot of evil. It's evil here in America, but right now the government doesn't walk people down the street beating them with a cat of nine tails. So far, the government hadn't put Christians on a stake and lit them on fire to light their gardens like Nero did. So the world's going to do what the world's going to do, but where's your heart? When you stand before God on the day of judgment, will you be guilty or innocent? When we stand before God? Paul thanks God in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We have eternal life. It's a gift of eternal life. When Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world. You know, I didn't know what Caleb was going to write, and I didn't set it up. But when Dee showed me, I just read a little bit, and I don't show me. I don't want to get polluted. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that's the light that's come into you. That's the light that's being shown you. What do you do with it? You know, the light came into the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. So many people don't understand what was done for them. And you know what? They probably won't. But when God shows you, what do you do with it? Romans 6:23, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. All our righteousness is filthy rags. That sin, if we've stolen, if we've lied, everyone's stolen. Those are the easy ones to hit. There's sins of omission, sins of commission. God's written it in your heart what sin is. There are people that get self-righteous that aren't Christians. They say, oh, Christians are self-righteous. Okay. They're hypocrites. Yes, yes, they are. But I tell you, there's people that aren't saved that are bigger hypocrites, liars, cheats, thieves. At least a Christian in his right mind is willing to admit, yes, I have sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. I don't make it there on my own. Amen. The whole reason Jesus came to this earth. He lived so that he could die for sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's an undeserved gift. Romans 5:8 said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that love given to us while we were still sinners. People say, well, I'm going to clean myself up before I come to church, or I'm going to clean myself up before I get to God. It ain't going to work. If you want to know God, he loves you right where you are, right where you're sitting, right where you are right now. Amen. He's the one that does the cleaning. Amen. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It's unearned. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, and that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's an act of faith. It's an act of believing. If you don't have the faith, listen to this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You know, we fall short. Sometimes it's hard to believe. It's hard to understand. If there is a God, how do I know all this is true? You know, there's still an Israel. There's still a Jewish people. You know, and the Bible doesn't tell us to point that out. But I look at that, that's an anchor. They're still a Jewish people, and it doesn't matter how much they rebel against God, they're still his children. But they became a nation when it looked like they would never be a nation. We had the benefit of looking at that. How do I know the Bible's true? Look overseas. It said there'll be a thorn in the side. This little bitty country is a thorn in the side of the world. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That faith can be a gift. You ask God, you don't have enough faith, ask God to show you. Because, you know, you can hear preaching all day. You can say, amen, amen. 24/7, you can get tired of the preacher. Doesn't mean a thing. But when God shows you, that's when it gets home. There was a man who was illiterate. It was an old illustration I read. So they still had slaves back in the day. But the preacher came by and he said, one of my men out here, he knows the Bible better than anybody, but he can't read a lick. Preacher goes out there and he talks to him. And he doesn't let him know he's a preacher, but he starts talking to him about the Bible and stuff. And man, he knows it. And he said, but how do you know it's true? You can't read it. How do you know it's true? And he said, you know, no, I can't read it. I can't see all of that. I don't have all of that knowledge, but I know what he did here. I know what he did to me. You know the story of Jesus. You know that there was no room at the inn. And even nowadays, there's a lot of people that don't have room for him. Lives get busy. Got too many things they would rather do than serve a living God. You know the story of the Nativity, but do you know Jesus? You'll stand, Miss Weiss will play. I want to invite you today to take that step. If you don't know Jesus, there's no better Christmas present. There's no better gift that you'll get this year under the tree. Won't you come? While she plays.